Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Speaking of playing, Rob, Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell was on ESPN, and he said that he is encouraging teams to sign Colin Kaepernick. This is a step in the right direction. We'll see if it amounts to anything. But what an about face, at least publicly, by Roger Goodell to say that he is encouraging teams now to sign Colin Kaepernick. Here he goes.
If he wants to resume his career in the NFL, that obviously is going to take a team to make that decision. But I welcome that, support the club making that decision, and encourage them to do that. If his efforts are not on the field, but in continuing to work in this space, we welcome to that table and to be able to help us and guide us and help us make better decisions about the kinds of things that need to be done in communities.
Rob Parker, I know you want the first word.
You know I do, and it wasn't strong enough for me, Chris. I'm just going to be honest. If Roger Goodell, who has clout with the owners, Chris, and can make a phone call and make things happen the same way that, I'm not saying he called him personally and told him not to have him in the league, but he has power. You know, I know he works
he
for the
Michael
owners.
Sam, right? That's
he
the
has power. Well, yeah. I mean, that's what you
that
know.
Was
that's
reported.
Report. I don't know that as a fact, but that's what people are talking about. Plaschke mentioned it yesterday.
Yep.
You've mentioned it a few times, so I'm going to just say that the commissioner has that. What I wanted to hear today, Chris Broussard, was if Colin Kaepernick wants to be, he will be in the NFL next year. There's no reason why a 32-year-old guy who had all that promise and isn't beat up from not playing the last 3 years can't play in this league and won't play in this league. I believe if I sit here as commissioner, I believe he will be in the league when we're ready to play in 2020 or whatever. And then when it does happen, you talk about action. Roger Goodell said he was going to play, and boom, he was going to play. And all he has to do, Chris, and I'm just saying it, preface it, if he wants to play, he will be in the league next year.
Not bad. Total disagreement. I do like when you said he could say, you know, he's good enough. There's no reason he shouldn't be in the league, all that.
That's all.
Right. My only thing is this. I'm fine with him saying what he said as long as it's followed up by a private call. Call in a favor from an owner. Like you said, Bill Plaschke said it. I'm just going off reports that were out that he called the St. Louis Rams and had them draft Michael Sam, the first openly gay player to be drafted in the NFL. He made that call. He made sure it happened.
I'm glad you said openly because, I.
And so you can make it happen with Colin Kaepernick. Now, the only reason, I don't need him to come out and say, I'm going to make sure Kaepernick is in the league or Kaepernick will be in the league, because it could be viewed as grandstanding or that Goodell wants some credit. Or it could be viewed by some as, oh, Kaepernick's really not deserving, but the commissioner made a call, and which is what we're talking about. But I'd rather see it done stealthily, privately, so Goodell doesn't get, you know, credit. And Kaepernick's not, it's not viewed as, oh, he didn't deserve it. It's viewed as, okay, you know, the scarlet letter is removed, and what a team A that signed him knew he was ready to play, knew he was able to play. I like that better than it feeling for him like, oh, the commissioner had to make a call. And I'll take that.
I'm
because he really wants to play, but it doesn't need to be put out there to me.
I disagree. What they did to him was shameful, Chris, and they should wear it and have to acknowledge it. And for him to say that Colin Kaepernick was out of the league, and we were wrong for that as a league. We just were. What we did to this young man and not giving him an opportunity when he was trying to help the black community and save black lives, we were wrong. We were wrong. And this guy's career should have never been stopped. He should have been allowed to play. And that's why I'm saying if Colin Kaepernick wants to play, hear me out. He will be in the NFL next year because that commissioner has that much clout, has that much power to get him on a team, Chris, if he wants to play. It's one thing if Kaepernick says, I don't want to play. That's different. But Roger Goodell could have made a statement today fully embracing what they've done. And you know what? I don't have an issue with him saying it today because of what they did. The wrongful termination, the wrongful treatment, the shameful disrespect for someone who was trying to make a difference, Chris, it's okay. And it ain't no handout. It ain't welfare. Colin Kaepernick was a big-time player in the NFL. He's only 32. This ain't trying to bring Satchel Paige to the major leagues at 45, Chris.
Well, that's what they did, right?
No, I know, but do you know what I'm saying?
He was pretty good too, Satchel Paige,
for a couple years.
At 45,
years. Right? Yes, but Satchel Paige pitched because he was denied and from not being able to pitch in the big leagues. And he made it when his 40s, Chris. This is the guy who's 32, basically in the prime of his career, 32.
Look, he like you said, he should definitely be on the team. He should definitely be in the league. And I'll say this too, Rob. This is still out there for whatever reason. This notion that Kaepernick may not want to play. Why? Why is it out there?
Because people haven't heard from him, Chris. But it's
they've
bogus.
Heard he every the it's few bogus. Times. But the few times he said it. He said, I want to play.
But just
the
like he
NFL,
said. That,
the NFL put him through this circus of a training workout, and he went to it. Now, granted, he left, but only because things looked fishy. But right. He still worked out. He has given us no and here's the other thing. It's not like he's out on the streets being an activist like Malcolm X.
Right.
This notion that, oh, he may just want to be an activist. Why you say that? Because he's had 3 years to be an activist.
Exactly.
If he wanted to be a full-time activist, he would have the dream set up for any activist.
And Chris,
he's got money galore, right? Nike's paying him who knows how much. The NFL has paid him who knows how much. He made money from his career before he got ousted. That's what every activist wants. I don't have to worry about where my next paycheck's coming
right.
from.
Right, and I can just
I can
spend
say
my energy.
Anything I
right.
want. And nobody can tell me a thing. He hasn't done it. He's got the Know Your Rights camps. Those are nice, but that's it. He's not speaking a lot. He's not tweeting a lot. He's not here and there giving speeches. You know he could be, you talk about hitting the college circuit. My goodness, he
could have
been
doing that. Do you know what the crowds
that.
Would be? Do you
oh,
know what the crowds
crazy.
Would be?
Crazy.
And here's the other thing, too. Chris, despite him derailing the workout when he changed the venue at the last second, he showed up.
Right.
If he didn't want to play football, he would have never gone. NFL right. said, hey, come to do this. You know what he could have said? No, thanks. I'm not interested. Thank you very much. I'm
yeah,
not interested.
Yeah, exactly.
He didn't have to show. So that's the other thing. And then the other part where people keep talking about is he never made a big stink or talked about the protest in the beginning, Chris. It was never about that. He wasn't delivering speeches and standing
right.
up. He
it
had
was
to be
a personal
asked.
Conviction.
It was a personal thing.
Yep.
He just sat there on the bench. It was Steve Wyche from the NFL Network who said, what are you doing? He didn't go to Steve Wyche.
I think he sat for like 2 weeks before
for two
it
games,
happened.
Chris, yeah. before they noticed. Steve Wyche
yep.
was near him and noticed him.
Yep.
And asked him what he was doing. So this all fits in with Colin Kaepernick. All I'm saying is I wish the commissioner would have been bold, strong, and talk about actions, not just talk about it, but just say he's going to be in the league. I'm telling you he's going to be in the league because he's good enough, he deserves an opportunity, and what we did to him was flat out wrong. I don't think anybody would argue with that. And then he could pick up the phone and call two or three of his close confidants. You know he's close to a couple of owners, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
Then he, not all 32 or all of them, but he's close to a few and say, dude, do me a solid. Do me a solid and put this guy on your roster. You need a third string or a second string quarterback. That's all he has to do.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We have not talked about this, but the big news over the weekend, and it's still getting big, is that Kyrie Irving has said, along with Avery Bradley of the Lakers and Dwight Howard of the Lakers, that they don't think the players should play in Orlando because of all the racial unrest that's going on. Now, I was one to say they need to make some demands, and they're making some, Rob. They have let owners know that they want to know.
They were listening
what
to the
owners. Hey, you never know. I said it all over the place, so hopefully. But they said they want to know what their plan is for the Black community in Orlando when the players go down there. And that's one of many things. So they do have certain demands that at least they want to discuss with the owners. But several players and former players, Rob, have come out very hard against Kyrie and those who share his sentiment. And let's start with Matt Barnes, who ripped him.
We can't let this go. Like LeBron and CP, Kyrie needs to quit. Because what I heard was Kyrie wanted to go to Orlando to support his team. They didn't let him. So then he flipped the script talking about, I'm going to give up everything. Bro, you can give up everything and go do the Meyer Moore if you really want to. But at the same time, sitting out without a cause or a purpose defeats the purpose. And then it also divides us.
All right. That's Matt Barnes on Instagram Live. You want to comment on that first before we go to Charles Barkley, Rob?
Yeah, I don't know. I disagree just fundamentally with the idea that the reason that he's saying this is because he wanted to go to Orlando and the team said you couldn't go. There's a lot of stuff that could go down that I can't believe you would take on that take on such a stance over going to Orlando with nowhere to go and nothing to do. I
agree with
Am
that.
Am I right?
That doesn't sound right. There's a lot that guys can rip Kyrie about. We know the earth is flat. We know Christmas isn't a holiday. You know, they can even say, look, you made your money, Kyrie. You know, I mean, you got your own signature shoe. You've done Uncle Drew movies. You've had max contracts. So we're not in that boat. You can say that if you want. You know, there are some people around the league, Rob, that have told me that, not that they've heard this from Kyrie, but there are people that think he really doesn't want to play that much anymore. Like, some people have told me they wouldn't be surprised if he retired early at some point. Now, I don't know that that's true, but that's the feeling among some around the league. So they are looking at the messenger rather than the message. And I don't have a problem with the message. I do think they need to play this year just to get that money. But I like Kyrie's thinking in that, look, let's put some stuff together. Let's organize and have some ask or demands of the owners at some point. But I think for them this year, get the money, make sure the cap doesn't bottom out over the next few years so you can make your money, but also make demands of the owners. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
There was also a story in the New York Daily News. Did you see that? Philip Bondi's son, Chris,
covers
the NBA. Yeah, about Kyrie maybe talking to other players on the Nets chat or whatever about starting their own league or whatever. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. And we were going to get to that, but we could talk about that now if
okay.
you like.
No. I was just saying.
No.
Kyrie's thought is deeper than that. That's all I'm saying. He's thinking about a lot of stuff.
It's difficult to start your own league. It sounds simple. It's a nice thought. And I'm not saying it's impossible, but during the lockouts, this is what agents and players have talked about. And you even have trouble getting arenas, Rob, because, you know, arenas that are NBA quality, because the NBA has got so many deals around the world, not the league, this country, the world. There was a guy trying to, back in the last lockout, he was trying to get, it was a black guy, a wealthy African-American, trying to do a world tour with like 24 of the best players in the NBA. And it seemed like he was getting some traction. He had, I think, even paid money, I believe, to some of the players. And he was trying to get arenas in different parts of the world because it was going to be a world tour. And at some point, it got shut down because some of these arenas had relationships with the NBA. And the NBA shut it down. And so to have a league where it'd be hard to get NBA quality arenas, that's going to cut down on the number of people that can attend. You won't have the box, you know, the mid-level loge seats in a lot of these places. That cuts down some of the money. So you could start a league, but to start a league that would make the type of money for the players that the NBA does is difficult. It's not simple, but I
hear your point. And yes, that's always the threat on why people don't want competition. But we just saw three football leagues started in the last 2 years. I mean, so it's not impossible.
They haven't done well, but
that doesn't mean that, Chris. I'm just talking about the idea of starting your own thing. I don't have an issue.
But that's not.
It doesn't mean it's going to be successful.
Players starting it.
No, I get it, but it's just an idea of having your own. I love that idea.
No players had their. I love it too, and I would love for African Americans to get a lot of ownership in a league like that. I'm just saying, like, those football leagues that started up, first of all, they failed. But secondly, they weren't player driven. They weren't African Americans owning those leagues. And that's what this thought that Kyrie's having is really African Americans owning a league since they're the best players in the world. But, you know, it's hard to get that type of money. And these football leagues weren't African American owned. So if you're going to have white owners anyway, then you might as well make the most money with the NBA. I get what you're saying. I'm just saying it's difficult. But here's Charles Barkley on what Kyrie's thinking is.
They're going to lose billions of dollars that the players could use to go into their own communities and do some great stuff. So it's not good on any front. I have no idea what Kyrie and Dwight are talking about, but it'll be a catastrophic mistake not to play.
You want to take that, Rob?
You could do it. You could just take it first.
Look, and Barkley talked about the players making money and they can go into their neighborhoods. I've long been a proponent of the players using their connections, their wealth, their influence to build up the African-American community. Businesses, schools, they should demand. If Nike, if you want me to endorse, if I'm that level of player, I'm a LeBron, I'm a Kyrie, you want me, you need
that many.
Me. Right, there's only a few. But if you're that level, you can say, look, I want you to start building some stuff in African-American communities. Or I want you to start, you know, certain programs for African-Americans, things like that. So I've long been a proponent of this, and I get what Barkley's saying. But if we're talking about systemic racism, and you're talking about righting and addressing wrongs of the past, and not just slavery, but things that were intentionally done to create a huge wealth gap that still exists between African Americans and whites. It's basically 10% that are white. The white average white household is worth 10 times more than the average black household. And so you need systemic action. So it shouldn't, if this is now the conversation, and I'm glad it is, then it shouldn't just be the players. And that's one thing Avery Bradley is saying, Rob, is it shouldn't just be on the players to help the African-American community. They want to see some of these owners and the league do it. And interesting, Rob, and obviously the NBA has been more progressive than the NFL. And I get it. $250 million over 10 years. That's not even $1 million a year for an NFL team. It's not a huge, it's not as big as it sounds, but it's something. And you know what? It's $250 million more than the NBA has pledged thus far. So I like the players thinking that we need to make some demands and get the NBA and its owners to put some investments into the African-American community.
I get it. I mean, yes, that all makes sense. I guess the part that I'm having a problem with is everybody doesn't respond to stuff the same way. Just like everybody can't be an activist, Chris. Everybody doesn't go to a march. Right. Everybody doesn't go to... Do you know what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that I don't have the same feelings for it, but everybody's different. Some people just can't bring themselves to go to a march or a rally. Do you know what I mean?
Right, right.
And then there are other people who face with situations respond differently, and they want to make change, and they want to do stuff. I just think that people are looking at Kyrie in the wrong way, as if he's trying to derail what's going on for no reason. I have some
insight on this too, because I've talked to some players.
Do you know what I'm saying?
The narrative out there is that Kyrie's trying to have a mutiny.
Right.
This is what I'm told by multiple people. Kyrie, after they had the vote, okay, and Kyrie's new to the executive committee. So they voted, and Kyrie kind of went along. He wasn't that talkative. You heard he said, is there going to be booze there and stuff like that? But he really didn't share his opinion. He just kind of went with the flow, okay? And then he starts getting text
from other players.
From players around the league that are like, hey, our voice is not being heard. We got concerns, this and that. So Kyrie talks to the executive committee about what he's hearing, and the executive committee there, I talked to a member of it today. There is no beef between Kyrie and the executive committee. I was told the executive committee, the other guy said, look, we want you to speak your mind. Whether we agree or not, we want you to speak your mind.
And that's
when Kyrie began sharing his thoughts and the thoughts of other players, and that's why he had the call. Now,
I just want to say this too, Chris, real quick. When people were saying, oh, Kyrie, he's a VP of the union. He's supposed to listen to the other players, Chris,
right,
and bring that knowledge back into the office, right, to discuss it. That's what he's doing, his job. People are acting like he's coming out of left field.
No, he's a part
of the union.
Right, no question. And even if he wasn't, he's a star. He's a legitimate superstar.
Right.
And so he can at least, you know, if guys are contacted, he can say what he wants. He can make his opinion known, and that's what he's doing. Kyrie, I'm fine with him saying what he's saying. Like I said, Rob, in my view, the players need to go ahead and play this truncated season. Because if they don't, they're going to lose. I was talking to somebody today that said this year, if they don't play, they'll lose about 25% of what they generally make. If they don't play this year, though, next year, it could be as much as 50%, a 50% decline in what they normally make. So you're talking about a guy who may have been in line for a $140 million contract. Now that's 70. And so I think go ahead and play this year so that the cap doesn't just fall through the bottom over the next few years. It's going to drop anyway, but then it doesn't drop too far over the next few years so you can get your money. But in the meantime, organize. Put some asks of the league together. Put some demands of the league together. And you can do some now, too. But then going forward, I'm with you, Rob. It always should be an option to not play.
Always. It always has to be on the table. Always.
Yep. And so if the NFL, if the NBA doesn't meet some whatever demands they want, then in the future, I think you should be ready to sit out. Also, Rob, it would give you time, as the Major League Baseball has done in the past, to build a war chest.
Absolutely.
For players, right?
That's why the players have so much power, Chris. That's why the baseball players have so much power.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Rob's got something to get off of his chest. Believe it or not, he might actually, might, I'm not convinced yet. He might actually say something critical about baseball. I'm just going to step aside. I'm stepping aside and I'm letting him have the floor.
I'm going to be critical, Chris.
Whenever the music comes out, you know what time it is. Get your tape recorders and your popcorn ready.
I've always said for a long time I've admired the baseball players because they always were willing to sacrifice to do whatever it takes to give themselves a fair shot at getting health care, benefits for the future, and taking care of themselves and their family. So I've always been a big supporter of the Major League Baseball Union, the strongest union in America. But here, I can no longer do that, not during this pandemic. I can't do it because I don't understand how they can look at what's going on in this country, where we are, 35 million people out of work, don't know where, you know, if they can take care of their bills or their lives. Everybody has had to be furloughed, or Chris lost their job, or had their pay reduced. Everybody. But somehow, some way, Major League Baseball players honestly believe that they should go unscathed. How dare you? How can you do this? You can't be that oblivious to the plight of the American people and to the baseball fans. You just kicked them in the groin. Really? Everybody else is taking it on the chin. And stop with the players who are yelling, open the books to the owners. Guys making $35 million are asking people to open the books? They're not at some sweatshop in Taiwan making $8, Chris. They make $35 million. And they want you to open the books to see what? They paid you $35 million, Mike Trout got $420 million. What books do you want to see? We know the owners have money. They've paid the players. How in the world could you ask for the same pay when there will be no fans in the stands, no concessions, no parking, no merchandise sold? How in the world? You know all the workers who used to work at the ballpark? They're ass out. They're not working. But you want your full pay? How? Everybody's taking it on the chin. Come on, man. I love baseball more than anything. Everybody knows it. When I die, my baseball writer's card and a New York Mets baseball cap is going to be in my coffin. No doubt about it. But I can't stand with this. You can't do this any longer, man. Stop it. Think of the fans. Think of the heartache and the plight of the American people. Don't take baseball from us.
Rob Parker.
All right. That was strong, Rob. And you can't disagree because you're right. Like, how do you expect to get the same amount of money?
Don't get it, Chris.
Which is prorated what they want when the fans won't be
right
there. Like, that's taking a huge chunk from the owners. And I get it. We know the owners are going to be fine. They're making all their money. But this isn't a lockout, Rob.
No.
This is the type of argument you have in a lockout with a new collective bargaining agreement. Not when you are on a timetable and you need to start playing. Good job, Rob.